God bless you, beloved. This is me at God's Word, my voice. And this is a place where you can come and discover that you can accomplish anything that you thought you never could, that greatness does live in you. So don't allow anybody to tell you what you cannot do, because you are God's precious treasure, His masterpiece, one of a kind, that's worth more than all the gold and Fort Knox. And I want you to really get that embedded in your mind. See yourself through the eyes of God. Today, God's word for today is, you do not have to struggle with sin. On Tuesday evenings, I joined a group on Zoom to discuss their Sunday school lessons. On March the 28th of this year, 2023, the lesson was about the prodigal son. The contributor asked this question: do you struggle more with outward sins everyone can see, or inward sins only God can see? Interesting question, don't you think? I'm sharing my answer because this is a critical issue, and my answer may surprise many. My reply was, take a deep breath, breathe it in. I loathe sin. It should not be in my life, and if it show up, I'm bringing it under subjection and holding myself accountable. But what does this mean? What are you talking about? I'll tell you exactly what it means. I do not struggle with sin. Uh-oh, what did you just say? See, the opposite word here is struggle. In the King James Version Dictionary, I'm going to give you two different definitions for the word struggle. To struggle with adversity, or to labor in pain or anguish, to be in agony, to labor in any kind of difficulty or distress. So when I struggle, it is something I hold on to because I will not give it up. I know this is not the will of God for me, yet I continue doing it, though this is not helping me to grow spiritually. Struggling with sin is if you in sin is fighting against what you know you should not do. It's like that of wrestling. I mean, I've never gone to a wrestling match. Don't really think I would enjoy it. But think about it. So why won't you let it go? What is it about this habit or desire that you keep holding on to it? How is it making your life better or bringing you closer to God? Now, I am not saying I do not sin. That is not what I said. Yet, I do not want to participate in anything that separates me from the Lord. I want nothing to do with whatever causes me to disgrace the body of Christ. Mm-mm. Let me read Isaiah 59:1-2. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Anything you do that undermines Christianity's authenticity is a disgrace. Anything. See, it does not matter if you feel it is something minor or major, because every time we act contrary to the principles of God, it gives others the wrong image of the church. See, the reason why the world has a negative image of Christians is because we gave it to them. We did that. And we must get better. Beloved, we have to strip off sins and the weights that entangle us and run this race so God receives all glory from our actions, from how we talk, from how we respond to anything. We want to bring him glory. We want to honor him. So when I feel tempted to say or do something ungodly, I let the enemy know. Not here, devil. Oh, no, you're not. Sometimes I do get frustrated about something. So rather than giving in to my flesh, I step away and I have a little talk with Jesus. You should try it. It really works. Then I am more focused and better able to deal with that situation. See, because you know when your carnal nature is trying to take control. So why not surrender control to God? It is that simple. See, the Bible says Jesus was tempted in every area, yet he did not sin. It also means that Jesus did not struggle with sin because he never surrendered to whatever the temptation was. The temptation, it came, it approached Christ, but still Jesus resisted. It went away and returned in a different form, and every time the Lord withstood it, and it had to flee. And he is our perfect example to follow. So I believe we can live without sinning. Oh, yes, I went there. I'll say it again. I believe that every Christian can live without sinning. Hebrews 4 and 15 tells us, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Tempted as we are, but yet did not sin. What a flawless record. What an example. So there is a difference between being tempted to sin and struggling with sin. Tempted to sin means something has presented itself to me, and I get to choose if I give in or resist the offer. Struggling indicates I already chose to sin but refused to let it go. See, if you are struggling with something, you are holding on to it. You have contact with it. So you are struggling with it because either there is something about it you enjoy, or it could be its power is so forceful, you believe you cannot let it go. You will not surrender control to God. There it go again. That's where the answer lives. Surrender control to the Lord. Jesus even told a lady, the scribes and the Pharisees brought before him after they caught her in the act of adultery, to go and sin no more. Oh, it is such a wonderful story in John chapter 8 verses 1 through 11. No, I am not saying you must be perfect, because nobody is. We are all imperfect beings. Still, Jesus expects us to be holy as he is holy. We can read this in 1 Peter verses 14 through 16. Listen up. I'm going to read it to you because this is what God expects from us. And it's not anything that is hard to do. It just, you have to make up your mind. Be transformed by renewing your mind. It says here, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. In all your conduct. In how you behave, everything you do. So neither did Jesus judge or condemn her, because he came to save us, not to condemn us. Christ offered her forgiveness. The Lord gave her access to a means to stop living in sin and start living a devoted life to him. And there is nothing complicated about doing this. He offered her grace instead of punishment and condemnation, because despite how great your sin is, God's amazing grace is greater. Good God Almighty. Woo! Thank you, Father. Now, you may argue that Jesus was holy and divine, and he sure enough was. Beloved, he was a human like we are. He was in flesh the same way we are. When he was here on earth, oh yes he was. Yet, he chose not to sin. The Lord understands that we have weaknesses, flaws, and something will tempt us. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, he says he will provide a means for us to escape during such a moment. So we have no excuse. We do not have to struggle with sin because it is a choice like anything else we experience. Let me read the scripture to you. I'm reading from the AMP version. I like how they explain this. Listen up. No temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that it is not common to human experience, nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is faithful to his word. He is compassionate and trustworthy. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. But along with the temptation, he has in the past and is now and will always, oh, sweet Jesus, provide the way out as well so that you will be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome temptation with joy. God, sweet Jesus, I thank you. He made a way out. Woo! Good Lord, that alone make me want to just dance. Ha! Woo! Glory, hallelujah. Oh, but I highlighted some of these phrases here, these words. Nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. Nothing beyond human resistance. Ooh, sweet Jesus, that just fills me with joy and courage. But God is faithful. My God, he never lets us down. Will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist. Just resist it. Don't give in. The question is, do you want to escape? Do you want to resist? See, the Lord has given us the resilience to withstand this temptation. Tell yourself, I can do this because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can even overcome with joy. Ah, so that time when you are tempted and you don't give in, then you can declare, I am so glad that I refuse to surrender to that temptation because I surrender control to God. Sweet Jesus, hot jiggity. Ah, that should make you just do a little cartwheel. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. See, there is no temptation that is so great that God will not give us the strength and ability to resist it. God has a means of escape in every experience that comes to entice us. He knows you are stronger than you think and you can resist what the devil offers. Oh yeah, God knows. God said, that's my child. That child is strong, strong in the Lord. Look how much God thinks of you. My Lord. So don't you dare let him down and give in to that temptation. See, there are times that you may say or do something that you thought you would never have done. Even then, before you made that final decision, the Lord has provided a means for you to not give in to the flesh. He does so because no temptation is unusual or beyond our ability to resist it. Because before it even arises, it's not unusual to God. God see it and God know all about it. And he has equipped you with the power of the Holy Spirit to resist it. So the more you resist, the less you struggle with whatever the temptation is. Oh, let me say that one again. The more you resist, the less you struggle with whatever the temptation is. Matter of fact, let's make this personal. I want you to say it. The more I resist, the less I struggle with the temptation, with whatever the temptation is. Beloved, whatever you are struggling with, you can resist. Take, for example, somebody who smokes and asks others to pray that God takes the taste from them. Oh, pray that God will take this taste of cigarette out my mouth. Well, my friend, you can stop buying cigarettes. Or send the others to buy them for you. It is just that simple. Just stop. You buy those little scratch-off tickets and playing the lottery and all that stuff, you're not trusting God. Remember maybe a year or so ago when that big jackpot was in and someone asked me, was I going to buy a ticket? I'm like, no. I put my trust in God. And then one person justified it by saying, well, they would use it to give to others. Singing. It's wrong. You're still not trusting in God. I don't care how big the temptation is. oh, how unusual, maybe God has made a way for me to resist and for you too. So beloved, whatever you're struggling with, you can resist. Okay? So whatever it is, if you're using profanity, sexual immorality, lying, telling somebody off because they offended you, God will provide a way for you not to satisfy your flesh. It could be lying to get a position. By the way, there is no such thing as a little white sin. You may say that, I only embellish the truth. Beloved, call it what it is, a lie. See, we just have to learn how to starve our flesh and feed our spirit. Flesh? Not today. No, you will not. I got the Holy Spirit in me. He gonna take control, not you flesh. See, I am reminded of the song by Hillsong, Not Today. And I want you to go and listen to a beautiful song. I'm gonna just read the chorus. It says, I'll sing the night into the morning. I'll sing the fear into your praise. I'll sing my soul into your presence. Whenever I say your name, let the devil know, not today. So whenever I say the name, the devil got to flee. We must be that bold and tell sin and the devil, get behind me because I am not giving in to you. I surrender all to Jesus. Hallelujah. So in my conclusion, I have reached a time in my life where I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my mind and strength, and I'm so secure in my relationship with him, I am not giving any place to the devil. God loves us. He wants us to be holy as he is holy. Holy as he is holy meaning that I am set apart. He has set you apart. Wow, isn't that beautiful? Set apart for Jesus. It comes with a high cost. The question is, can you drink from the cup Jesus did? Are you willing to pay the cost to be holy? As he is holy, I surely am. Now let's read the blessing for number 6, 23 to 24. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Beloved, God loves you. You mean the world to him. God bless you, beloved.